Okay, we are recording.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. January 7th, 2:02 p.m. We're going to call to order the Connecticut Interagency Drought Work Group meeting. We don't have any guests on the agenda per se to do for introduction, so I'm going to not worry about any introductions today. But we will go through and for voting purposes, just to designate for each of the agency who the voting member is. And hopefully I'll be able to go through the participants that are on the side to be able to just verify that. But for DEEP and PURA, I do see Doug Hoskins on. So that is, Doug will be the voting member there. For DESP and DEMIS, do we have... Well, Brenda's not on, but Doug is on. So Doug, you will be the voting member. So far, why don't we just have Doug's vote, right? DPH, I don't see Lori on.
Hi, this is Steve. She'll be on shortly. She's coming from another webinar.
Okay, thanks, Steve. And actually, just as a note, because we do not have an alternate for DPH, if Lori is not on there, DPH does not have a vote. So we do maybe want to address that after, just as a note, Steve, just so you're aware.
Okay, thank you.
OPM will be myself, Martin Heft. DOAG, I did believe I saw Steve Anderson on, correct? Yes. Terrific. So those are the voting for the five agencies. Obviously, we know we have our additional support agencies and the support staff all on board. So thank you all for joining us today. First order of business is our approval of minutes from December 10th. Do we have a motion to that effect?
So moved. Steve Anderson.
Thank you, Steve. Sorry, I'm trying to watch the screen too as we go here. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Doug. Any corrections, additions, any comments on the minutes? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, say aye or raise your hand just so I can see. Thank you, the minutes are approved. Next order of business on the agenda, item number four, is our 2021 meeting schedule. We have presented to you here keeping 2 o'clock on the first Thursday of the month, unless that is the first day of the month or is a holiday, then it's moved to the following Thursday. Obviously, as anyone knows, meetings will be canceled if not needed, but we did have discussions at previous meetings about setting up a monthly meeting, because we know even if, you know, coming out of drought stages, if we're not in any of the stages, that we do have additional work that needs to be done over the next course of the next few months. We wanted to have meetings scheduled on here as regular meetings, so everyone can have those on the calendar. So sent out in the packet is a 2021 meeting dates. As I said, based 2 o'clock on the first Thursday of each month, except for, I believe, April and July, which would be the second Thursday. Do I have a motion to accept the meeting dates? Steve Anderson, thank you. Is our second?
Rolling into a pattern here, but I'll second.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it. Any discussion? All in favor then? Aye. Thank you. That moves on there. Moving right along, look at that. We're halfway through the agenda items already. number five is discuss current conditions for each drought region. Eric and Bruce did send out updates from reports that everyone has sent in. As was noted at our last meeting back in December, where we had moved everything down to a stage one, except for New London County, which we left at a stage two, waiting for further information on this to just kind of look through before we took everything out of a drought stage. So I wanted to just review that. Eric, can you put up just the stage two drought trigger chart from the, which I think page 3 of the document, if anyone's looking on paper copies?
Sure.
Thank you. And I will ask if there's anyone that has anything additional to add in or the comments that they'd like to make regarding this. I'm not foreseeing that we need to go through, you know, each of the counties as we're not getting, you know, worse because of the rain and everything we've had at the end of November, obviously through December. And for that, but I wanted to at least show the stage two drought trigger summary. As we said, New London County is the only one that is currently at a stage two. All the others, we had moved to a stage one. So I don't know if any agencies or support staff or our support agencies have anything additional they want to relay on this. Because then our next would be taking course of action on the stage one and the stage two of potentially removing those or, you know, keeping status quo on things. So wanted to just make sure everyone has an opportunity to, you know, bring anything to the forefront additionally that or that's something they want to highlight off the report they've submitted.
Yes, John Mullaney from USGS. I just wanted to address the groundwater sites as because that's one of the few that seems to be showing some different
sure, thanks.
Colors.
Thanks. Go ahead, John. Thank you.
Okay. You hear me all right? I wanted to mention that the groundwater levels were measured fairly early before the holidays in December. At least the ones that we measure on the monthly basis, they were done a little bit early and there was a substantial rainfall that was associated with the Christmas, you know, melting and rainfall event there. So we've seen some really dramatic rises in groundwater levels since Christmas. So, I mean, we have a couple of sites, take a look if you get a chance, but, you know, they've really risen dramatically. So I expect that the conditions are a bit higher than what we're showing. And some of those are as a result too of being of sites that were below normal last month, but are normal this month, but they still meet the criteria.
Oh, okay. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Is there anyone else that needs to provide any updates or additional information or have questions regarding any of the presentation here on the stage two? Okay. Hearing none. Thank you, Eric. I don't know if we need to keep it up, but just have it handy just in case, please. Okay. Then the next order of business would be to look at a recommended course of action in accordance with the state drought plan of either maintaining or modifying the current drought stage for each county. Just repeat for the record that all counties are listed as a stage one. Thank you, Eric. And New London is at a stage two. By looking at all the stuff and the information we've had and the conversations we had at our last meeting, and of course, under our drought plan, we don't really have a way or any really main plan of taking things out of drought stage or no proper terminology for it. So we could come up with something and say, okay, do we want to reseed out of this, you know, and have a pun intended there? Or do we want to go through, you know, and look at it? And, you know, consideration, I suppose we take, you know, New London, because it is at a stage two, which is the highest level of any of them right now. And then the stage one, you know, there was discussion at the last meeting of, you know, at this meeting, depending upon, you know, with the rainfall and everything and the updated triggers, that we would take all of Connecticut out of the drought declarations. So is there a conversation or a motion to any effect or thoughts from any of those? Obviously, a motion's got to come from one of the five voting members, so. And welcome, Lori.
Hi, how are you, Martin? Sorry I'm a bit late.
Good, thank you. Not so a problem.
A question on the date here. It says updated December 14th. So this is what we decided at that moment in time. So I missed the
correct.
Other.
That was from our December, right. That was from the December 10th meeting.
This is what we have today. So the triggers, and I think you probably went through the other things before I got on. So I guess for me, I'm in favor unless I need to look at the numbers for New London. But I would say that, you know, given our information, what we're looking at for public water supply, that we should all be at the very minimum, and I don't know if there's a reason or a need to be even in stage one at this moment in time. And so that's just my high level opinion without looking at the details from everybody else. So just my thought at this moment, given what we've looked at for public drinking water.
No, thank you for that. And I think that's kind of, you know, my feel as well on it, looking through, you know, just the drought triggers and where we're at on it. Obviously doesn't mean that we don't encourage water conservation use, everything else through the winter and everything, you know, for that, or that, you know, because we're not back to full capacity at every level yet. And I think that's part of the messaging, you know, depending upon our actions here. So, you know, I concur with what you're saying, Lori. Yeah.
And I guess, are there still concerns from anyone?
Well, my only concern, if any, this is Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Would be the precipitation forecast. Okay. It's could go either way. It looks like it's, 50% chance of above or below, according to the long-term forecasts. So that doesn't really give us much help.
Yeah.
And Doug's review, thanks, Doug, Doug too, is that there are some storms at our south that could dip up. But just for the record, I'm not saying it's going to sway my vote, but that's the only kind of, I won't say red flag, but maybe a yellow flag.
Okay. Thanks for that, Doug. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and if there's anything, you know, national weather or Doug can add to that, anything that can clarify, definitely welcome.
My apologies. I had a phone call come in right at the time Doug One was speaking. Yeah, we have a couple coastal storms that might threaten us next week. And over the past 30 days, which encompasses that time since mid-December when the groundwater readings were last recorded, we have had above normal rainfall in New London County. Normal rainfall across most of the state, very slightly below normal in Litchfield County. So that's just food for thought. You know, rainfall in New London County is around 4 inches in the last 30 days.
And this is Nicole. On the forecast, I concur with what Doug had in his write-up for the conditions that, you know, we have these potential for these coastal storms, but right now the track is, it could force them south of our area, so we may end up with some misses, but there's a chance we could get hit by one, you know, looking over the next 1 to 2, 3 weeks or so. So there's some uncertainty. Obviously, if we get hit by a coastal storm, we could get hit big, but if they're wide right, we could miss out. So it's probably greater uncertainty than normal in terms of the amount of precipitation that we would see for this time of year. Doug, do you have any additional thoughts on that?
I was just going to say, I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact, and, you know, it's an active pattern, but you're right. Right now, most of these storms are still off the coast. And we get some really cold air in here, which is, you know, about time for this winter. But as far as precipitation, it still looks like slightly below normal, but one of these storms steers up the coast and we can get clobbered. So these storms can deliver, you know, 2-3 inches of liquid equivalency from one storm in some cases. So but it's an active time period. So I would assume normal rainfall over the next 2 weeks, just as a default until we know more.
Great. Thank you, Doug. Is there anyone else, questions or any other concerns?
How about just general groundwater? I know I got, when I got on, I was hearing John speak for the groundwater side of things. How does that look in the New London,
County? I do have two wells in the New London area. We have two in North Stonington, one little cluster. That's one that's on a hilltop and one's in the valley bottom in the Pendleton Hillbrook. And they're at like, I'm just looking at them right here now. Let's see, they're still at, one's 7 months, seven continuous months below normal, and the other one's nine. But when I look at, some of these things, I think what we see is, I think with the rainfall that we got at around Christmas time there, that whole, you know, that chunk of water, if you want to call it that, yeah, it looks like the trend, you know, is going to, we're probably pretty close to the, back to the normal range on those. If I had to guess, we may be there already. Mm. So it's hard to say, but it's definitely, I mean, I saw rises. We have a well in Clinton. I think that may be the one that I put in the presentation that I sent out, but I mean, it actually rose on the order of, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, the groundwater level, it's in till, it rose from 9 feet to less than 2 feet. 7 foot rise in the water table.
Wow.
So, I mean, a lot of that's not 7 feet of water. It has to do with the, you know, properties of the aquifer and that sort of thing. But, you know, that puts it, that actually put it up above. So we went from being below normal in that particular site to being above the record high.
That is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, that one wasn't particularly low, though. That was one of the ones that really didn't sink really low either. So it was kind of Central Coast, Clinton area. But Clinton. All the rest of the real-time sites are back up into that, like, kind of either normal to much above normal, and even and that one was a record high that I just mentioned.
Okay.
And John, this is Eric. Did you your manual measurements before Christmas? Is that right?
Yeah, they were done. I'd have to go look at the actual dates, but some around the 16th through the 19th in that time period. Okay. Yeah, so we didn't have the benefit of that additional. You can almost see the rise in that plot I put in the presentation that I sent. There's sort of a last little rise in that well, and that's kind of that. I think that's that combination of that couple inches of water equivalent that was on the ground when we got the rainfall, you know, in the snowpack that we had.
So we missed, just to your point, I think you made this point earlier, but just to reiterate it, we missed all of that, all of those many inches of precipitation that fell around Christmas time and after are not reflected on those manual measurements for December.
That's correct. Yeah. I did put in the map of our real-time sites, and they all were, I looked at all of them, they were all going up pretty substantially. So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to say where we go. You know, we're getting there, and we're certainly getting back up into that normal range. It kind of depends on, like I usually say, is we get up, how high up do we get, and how long does it stay up there? You know, if all of a sudden you stop getting rainfall, obviously you can come back down, but normally we expect, you know, kind of the high, though, to really be, I don't know, it's usually like right before the growing season, you know, sometime around then. So, you know, maybe April.
Eric, what do we know about Rhode Island and Massachusetts? Do we know where they stand or what actions they've taken?
Rhode Island still has not met yet, to my knowledge. I don't know when their next meeting is scheduled. They're still in a drought advisory under their plan. That's the lowest level. Massachusetts, their task force just met yesterday, and I had been intending to sit in on that, but I had another conflict come up. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get to sit in on their meeting, and I don't know what the outcome was. Thanks for reminding me. I'll check that right now, see if I can find anything online.
Hey, Eric, I was actually on the meeting yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So, hi, they made the decision to go back to normal conditions across the state. So, you know, there was some discussion about the 2 to 3 month precipitation, like the SPI being in the normal range versus the out to 9 months, the SPI was running on the low side. So there was a little bit of discussion about longer term deficit versus in the short term, we've just had a lot of precipitation. When you look at the past 3 months in total, especially December, but the group decision was unanimous to go back to normal conditions en masse. And I haven't heard anything from Rhode Island either in terms of a meeting. So I'm not sure if there'll be a meeting this month.
Okay. And also to note, the U.S. drought monitors has no coverage.
Thank you all for that. That's helpful.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Okay, so does anyone have a recommendation of what they'd like to do with our counties? I mean, we have, as we said, we have New London, which is at a stage two. The rest of the counties are all at stage one. You know, hearing all of the information and everything, it seems like we would, you know, take everything out of all the stages and, you know, go back to, you know, normal, if you will, you know, on it would seem to be the, you know, the direction to take. Yeah. from hearing everything. But
that's what I'm leaning toward, but looking at everything and thinking about it, knowing what Massachusetts just did.
I understand that, Lori. And I think part of it is, you know, we obviously have having, you know, monthly meetings still and continuing that we are still work to do, that we still got to raise awareness. We've got to be prepared, you know, and continue to, you know, look at conditions and everything as we move forward. On this as well. And still, you know, as I agree, if we agreed to put everything back to normal conditions, I believe, you know, that the information press going out still has to have messaging in there on, you know, water conservation, you know, and everything, that just because we're back at normal conditions, we're not back to 100%, if you will, but, you know, so we still got to be, you know, aware of those. I mean, yeah, people aren't out watering lawns this time of year, you know, on it. So there's different. Right. So, but there's different aspects of, you know, water conservation and everything to just keep, you know, awareness through the winter months and everything, and using that time to continue to educate, you know, the public. I mean, that would be my, you know, recommendation to do.
I agree, because we just got off of our webinar that we do every other week with our water systems. And, you know, we don't want to see what happened last summer to some systems, you know, with just, again, the irrigation, the use of people are at home. And it seems like we're going to be in this pattern probably this summer again, given what's going on with COVID and the vaccine. You know, we're not going to be up and out of this until probably, sad as this sounds, you know, the end of the summer. So again, we're going to face another season of people being at home and you know, teleworking and sitting there watching their grass get green, you know, and overusing, you know, it's just so frustrating. I was chatting with Jack about this, about the, you know, we talked about it during the Water Planning Council meeting too. With, you know, we can't have this. We can't put ourselves in that position and have reservoirs go down to 20%, 25, 30%. That's just not a way to manage our supplies. And I agree with you. If we go back to normal, you know, I just hesitate to say we're back to normal. I don't know why. Well, that is, because what is normal, right?
Right. And it may not be that we say that we're, you know, that we're not going back to normal, but that we're just removing, you know, the stages from it. So I wouldn't use the terminology that we're back to normal. Yeah. Yeah. You know, in all honesty, I would just say that we're removing all the drought stages, you know, for the state of Connecticut, and, you know, the continued education piece of, you know, the water conservation needs to be in there as well.
Yeah.
So let's, so, I mean, at least from, you know, hearing everyone, so let's do this. If someone's willing to make a motion to remove the drought stages for the state of Connecticut. Is there a motion to that effect?
Motion made.
Thank you, Doug. Is there a second?
I will second.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you. Is there any other discussion? And then we'll talk about, you know, next steps. But okay. Well, for the voting member, I think we can just do it with the, you know, we've got all in favor, say aye or raise your hand so I can at least see.
Aye.
So, perfect. Thank you. Okay. That is good. We will, we've already been working on some draft messaging. We'll do the same as we've done in the past, getting it out to that smaller work group as we've done on that, you know, about removing, you know, the drought stages in the state of Connecticut and, you know, keeping up some education, water conservation messaging in it as well. So we continue working on that. So that'll be the next steps on that piece of it.
Did everybody, Martin, did everybody vote? Yeah. Did everybody vote? Did we hear from Pura?
Well, Pura's under is under DEEP. It's not a separate vote.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
Yeah. That's part of the next piece on the agenda. But that's, yeah, it's just the way the plan is drafted, written. DEEP Pura is one agency, same as DESP and DEMIS are listed as one. So that's the way the voting is done. Okay. And that's one of the things, you know, under that we have under business, under drought plan modification recommendations.
Okay. So, all right. Okay. I've forgotten. Okay.
Nope. Oh. Fair question though. Okay. So, okay. Then let's move on under business, as I just started talking about drought plan modification recommendations. And not that we're going to have answers, decisions today, but I think, you know, as we've gone through this process the last 6-8 months, we found things that work, things that don't, things that need to be clarified, things that need to be modified. One, as I just mentioned, is looking at splitting out DEEP Pura, you know, as voting members on it. So it's not under the same, you know, agency, but that is, you know, all these recommendations I'd like to put together, as I mentioned at the Water Planning Council meeting earlier this week, is our recommendations together, bring that forward to the Water Planning Council, kind of an update of the plan. Obviously, we've got to go through the process of doing so, but, you know, rather than going in and piecemealing one piece here, one piece there, you know, there are some things we've talked about, you know, whether it be, you know, the naming of the incipient, you know, stage, you know, and all the different wording and everything that we have in there and some of best practices, if you will, that we need to look at those. And that's kind of some of the drought action team has worked on some of those pieces already. So that would be my goal of, you know, moving forward with our next few meetings is to be looking at that, looking back through the plan, what things worked, what things did not, what do we need to change and what do we need to update or clarify, and kind of go through those so we can make that recommendation back to the Water Planning Council and take the next steps in doing so. Don't know if anyone else has any thoughts on that process.
Martin, if I may.
Sure, Jack, how are you?
Jack. Yes, hi, how are you, buddy? I just wanted to first, on behalf as chairman of the Water Planning Council, thank the group for the outstanding its work it's done over the past several months. Nice to see we have more precipitation over the last several months, and we seem to get into high levels. But as Lori and I have discussed, you know, we've missed it for a while, but this too shall pass, and we'll be dealing with it in the future. Some of it's been around quite some time. I can think this is the third or fourth one that I've certainly dealt with, and Lori's dealt with more. So I think the fact you're going to be keep on meeting as a group is a great thing, and I thank all the members of the group for their work. And we've talked, I really do think that DEEP and Pura should be separated, and that should be a recommendation made to the council moving forward. I know that Maria and Kathy from our staff, Maria attends every meeting, and she sends me a comprehensive report after the meetings. And she goes, why can't I vote? And I said, well, you know, our parliamentarian, Martin Heff, says you can't vote just yet. So we have to figure out how we're going to do this. So I would endorse that would be a recommendation. So thank you, Mark, for your leadership and Lori and others.
Yeah, so would I. I think it's important to hear from the different perspectives. And OPERA has I see it as always and has been as one of our sister agencies here. It has a little bit, we all come from a little bit different point of view and have different responsibilities. So, you know, I think it's so valuable to have PURA vote as well. And to hear the input from everybody and feel like they're part of it, and just makes everybody feel like they're part of it, you know. And just, you know, the Nicole who spoke about Massachusetts. I mean, that to me, that was really, really important to hear. Oh, Massachusetts just said yesterday they went back to normal. I mean, that to me, like, sort of solidified. Okay, all right, that's good to know. Important to know. Because we're not here on our own on an island. And so I'm just thinking, how do we, so we're going to, what do we think? We're going to meet monthly, this team, or should we have the smaller team meet monthly, or what do we think about frequency?
So Laura, I think probably before you jumped on, we did approve a 2021 meeting schedule for the first Thursday of the month.
Okay. Good.
For the whole work group. I think the action team obviously can meet in between and everything on that. So, but we did approve the schedule, you know, for the first Thursday of the month, except for, I think there's two that wind up being the second Thursday.
Perfect. Does it have to be 2 hours?
We'll have that.
Does it have to be 2 hours?
No, I mean, no, I think it was, I don't know, yeah, I don't know why it got blocked in at 2 hours, but, you know, but we can, you know, hopefully they should all be, you know, an hour, you know, unless we've got something major on, because we're not, you know, in a drought, you know, stages and having to do that. We're looking at making those changes, modifications, you know, for it. And I agree with both what, you know, Jack has said and Lori have said, you know, regarding PURA about being, you know, voting member. We should also look at, you know, one of the other things is Department of Consumer Protection, you know, which is on here as a supporting agency. You know, do we pull them in as voting members? And these are the things that we need to discuss and review, you know, for, I think the PURA is the easier one because that's just a split, you know, of that, and you know why it got listed that way, who knows, but let's, you know, correct it and move it forward. But then obviously looking at the plan itself of, you know, what things we need to do. So I think, you know, part the, you know, the action team can start looking at some of that with what's been done. We can look at, you know, the legality pieces, you know, more of, you know, from this work group here, you know, for what changes we need to make that way. And I'm happy to, you know, take a look through that plan and see where changes need to be made in those senses. I think that part's an easier, you know, piece to do. And then whatever other pieces we need to change and kind of come up with, you know, here's a revised recommended changes to the plan. Perfect.
Martin.
Yeah, Eric,
Just because Lori wasn't here when we were talking about the schedule, I think the expectation is that most of the full IDW meetings on the calendar will be canceled. I think that the idea of the schedule was to have placeholders there so that we have a schedule in place should we need them.
Perfect. That's a good idea.
And I did mention earlier, Lori, too, that at least, you know, the next couple of months as we're looking through this plan itself, that, you know, we, you know, probably will meet just because of going through and getting, you know, this piece at least done.
I would be in favor of having the action team sort of comb through some of the items that we've sort of struggled with and look at, you know, I think we struggled with how to back out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, how to make those decisions on backing out. And then, you know, the other one is, do we have enough information to be able to make the decisions that we need? You know, one thing that I know Alicia was on before, but I think she had to go. But she has said, and during, I think, the Water Planning Council meeting this week, she said that, you know, one of the struggles that she's seen, because she's listened in, is the lack of, you know, more groundwater. And I think Virginia said this as well, Virginia Zalema, about the groundwater levels and understanding more about that, because it's so important to hear about what's happening, you know, what John just put on the table and we talked about a little while back. So do we need more information to make better decisions, and, you know, how to get in and get out? And I think we sort of struggled with some of that. And maybe the action team could look at what Massachusetts does and how they do it, or some other states, and kind of bring some ideas to us so that we could consider those over the next few months. The thing that's always been there, it's been up there a long time, has been this municipal ordinance. It's sort of worrisome that municipalities, if we do get into a very severe drought, that a municipality doesn't have in their laws the ability to take certain action, you know, there's a reason why, you know, Norwalk, for instance. Norwalk does what they do. Norwalk took certain action. They have these two large utilities in their city, and the mayor makes a decision, you know, and maybe we should look at what Norwalk does and how they're doing it, and how did they get that passed, and why do they do what they do? It would be difficult for us if we had a statewide severe drought. Towns, I think, would struggle. And we really don't want that to happen. And I don't know, something we could look more into that as well.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you, Lori, on that. And I think even one of our previous meetings, we talked about actually meeting with Rhode Island, Massachusetts, with their work groups or their boards to get those ideas, everything else that way. So I think that, you know, is a good piece of what, you know, for the drought action team, as item 7B on the agenda, assignments for the drought action team, as Lori's just outlined there, you know, is actually perfect for, you know, what direction and where we're going. And then that group can kind of report back to, you know, the full group here. Eric, does that give you enough on that side for the drought action team piece? Or do you have anything else you want to add on that side as well?
This is Steve. So my only addition is the drought implementation work group is working on a lot of these things. Eric and Doug, if I'm wrong, let me know. But like the ordinance side of the equation and some of the things that Lori was talking about, they've been identified in this group. And I think we're working towards, like, you know, making recommendations and possibly have, you know, ordinance examples, you know, model ordinance for the different situations across the different towns. So some of this work is being done already, but it's not being done within this group, but members of this group are part of this implementation work group.
And great thing to thanks for that too. Eric, go ahead.
I was just going to say, just following up on Steve's comments, the thing to remember is we don't want to lose sight of the valuable work being done by that group that we're both part of. At the same time, we have to recognize that work is looking at a different drought. It was a totally different drought under a different plan, and so the recommendations from that group are sort of, I don't want to say they're sort of obsolete on arrival, because a lot of them won't be, but it's important to recognize that they're looking at the old plan and the way things used to work back in 2016. That was their initial charge. That charge was given to them before we even knew we were going to have a drought in 2020. So things have sort of, you know, the 2020 drought, as unexpected as it was, happened during the course of that group's work. And I think it's important to, you know, not lose sight of that group's work, but also take a look back at what we just went through and just experienced with our new plan for the first time. Because some of the things we thought might work well when we were revising the plan turned out that they didn't work so well. So,
right. And one thing about that group, and again, Eric, if I'm wrong, let me know. But
yep.
Way that I saw it, and the way that we're kind of looking at things, is that we're a group moving forward into the future, and we will look at the 2020 drought. And, you know, it's this ongoing effort. It's not something that's just being halted, you know, just after our review of the 2016 and how it was implemented in the old drought plan is done. We're done. The way that I see this group and the way that it's being, you know, kind of led is we're working towards, you know, helping going through the future, you know, helping with designing model ordinances, helping with determining, you know, what are the best criteria for going in and out and short-term drought and that kind of stuff. So I see this group as helping and aiding and providing a better product moving forward to enable us to make better decisions.
No, that's terrific. And I know we'll look forward to seeing all those, you know, recommendations and guidance that are in that coming from that group as well. Great. Anything else on the assignment, you know, piece? Okay. So I think that kind of covers our items for next meeting as well, is that, you know, we asked that the drought action team start, you know, review this. Eric, yep, you have something you want to say?
Sorry, I just thought of this.
That's okay.
No problem. We already have a draft press release that we started working on. I just wanted to ask if we had talked about some language concerning, you know, we still have some public water suppliers that aren't at full recharge yet, and wasn't sure if Lori or DPH had any suggestions to, I mean, I suppose you can make your suggestions when we circulate the draft, but didn't know if you wanted to talk about what you might want to see included in the press release.
Yeah, not everybody's perfect. There are still some reservoir systems, but we're heading on the right pathway. So yeah, we could take a look at the draft and we'll work on that, on the wording. I think we have to be careful not, you know, say everything's normal, good to go, you know, as soon as it's springtime, turn those sprinklers on. You know, I think to Martin's point, we have to keep, you know, keep in that mindset that conservation is not only for, you know, it's almost like a mindset that we need to get people into. And constant reminders of it is important. So yeah, we'll take a look at the draft. So.
Great, thank you, Lori. So is there anything else that anyone has? Just trying to keep it under 2 hours for Lori.
Bob Kenny.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir? One thing we will do also is, as with any other distribution list and assignments, we're going to have to constantly stay on top of the water coordinators to make sure that that information stays fresh and current. So we'll, you know, we'll be able to facilitate doing that as we've done in the initial recruitment process. So.
Terrific. Thank you on that. Appreciate it.
Bob, Doug here. Have they been getting notifications at the after each of our meetings to update them on what's happening?
They do get, what they have been getting is Doug Lowacki's the forecast, the 10-day forecast piece. We haven't had a lot of communication with them regarding the work of this group other than some initial communication with them. That is a good idea. We could share the minutes of the notes if that would be okay. We'll share the minutes with them or a summary.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Kind of make them feel, not make them feel, but have them realize that they are part of this effort.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Doug, on that.
Not to make more work. Sorry.
No. No, but simple to send out either the link or, you know, the document to everybody, you know, makes it nice and easy for them to, just as a reminder, and keeping them in the loop is always good. Terrific. Anybody else? Okay. Well, with that brings us to item 8 on the agenda. 2:47 p.m. if we can get a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Laurie. Is there a second?
Second, third, and fourth.
Second, third, fourth. Terrific. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Terrific. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, wear your mask. Please. Take care.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye bye.
Take care.
Happy New Year.
Take care. Good seeing
you. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.